Hello, everybody, and welcome to another week of My Favorite Friendship. I'm Mark Musinski.
And I'm Brian Wohl.
And we're best friends. And this is a show about friends. It's a true friendship podcast where we find the most interesting friendships from the past, from the present, from celebrities, from inventors, scientists, people who don't have cool things that they've done even other than being awesome friends, and with the goal of sharing these stories to see how we can become better friends today. So think about it like a true crime podcast, but instead of learning about how not to get murdered, you're learning about how to get friended. And not only is this a show by friends, about friends, it's also a show for friends. So just by listening, you guys are our new friends. So thank you and welcome. And it's also a show that's meant to be shared with friends. So if you enjoy it, take a sec, find an episode you think one of your friends would like and send it over to them. And if you want to be great friends to us, leave a review. Well, without further ado, how is your week in friendship going, Brian?
Oh, Mark, it was awesome. We had our Star Wars marathon. You and I watched 25 hours of Star Wars films over a 48-hour period with...
It was over like a 36-hour period.
Sure.
Because it was
yeah, you're right. It was
like 11 to 11. 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. the next day, basically.
Yeah.
And you know what? It was awesome.
Yeah.
I will admit, I was a little bit worried because in the past, I think the longest we've ever done was like 14 or 15 hours in a one day sitting.
Yeah, and that's now, a long I'm day. Honest,
I'm not sure I want to go back. We watched all of them. And I was tired, but I was also invigorated. And I thought the zooming throughout was going to be, you know, sort of just like draining, but it ended up being just really easygoing, at least for me. I'm curious what you thought, but I thought it was so easygoing, so fun to have people popping in and out. And to the point where we were chatting so much that I'm like, I think I need to watch Star Wars movies again because I didn't catch that much of them.
Yeah, we basically chatted 25 hours straight. We were chatting constantly. It was so much fun to just have a constantly moving conversation about the films. Like, there was some chat about different friends' lives and, you know, how people are doing and whatever. But most of it was just kind of an escape for everyone into the films, our feelings about the films, our feelings about the characters, you know, everything. It was really
about
fun.
The other Star Wars stuff like Mandalorian and Clone Wars and Rebels and toys and video games and all sorts of all the peripheral Star Wars things that, even though, you know, the movies is what got me into Star Wars, there's a whole like culture around it that is probably took just as much of my time as watching the movies did.
Oh yeah, and we talk about that a lot on last week's episode about Mark and Brian and Star Wars.
It's true.
It was absolutely awesome. And although I really miss the in-person marathon, and maybe if we do the in-person marathon, it'll be hard to do it 2 days in a row. I don't know.
Yeah. I did make that claim, and then it'll be very difficult to do. But I don't know. Maybe we could do like a virtual first couple of movies, you know, the week, whatever. We don't need to figure this out on air.
But it was a really great thing. It was cool to organize an event for friends to get together through Zoom, see each other once again, and even in a very casual context, you know? You knew that and the conversation would be centered around Star Wars. It wouldn't be like, how much is COVID getting you down?
Yeah. No, it was kind of like this little world where, like, the worst thing going on was like, that CGI is so lame. I wish they used puppets still.
And what a great problem to have. That was awesome.
Yeah.
It was just so great to just talk about Star Wars and not like, you know, how we're not getting our aid and our jobs aren't coming back and the California is going to be on lockdown. All these depressing things did not come up.
And I guess all I have to say is let's just figure out a day to do a Lord of the Rings one, you know?
Nah, you got it, man. I think that's great, and I highly recommend it to anybody else that wants to try something like that. It was awesome. Yeah, that's all I got. Did anything else happen for you this week?
No, I mean, it was Christmas, and Christmas Eve and Christmas, and it was a lot of just sort of chilling out with Robin and doing holiday stuff, which is why I'm excited to be back talking to friends, or friend in this case, about friends. So,
oh yeah.
I feel like you have a friendship for this week. Do you not?
I do. I have a big friendship for this week, Mark. My friendship is about the most epic girl pop group of all time, the Spice Girls.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. Jerry, Emma, Mel B, Mel C. It's going to be, and Victoria, of course, as well. what an
so
amazing
this is
group.
I've never before heard all of their non-Spice related names.
Mm-hmm.
You started naming them and I was like, oh, who are these people? Oh yeah, the Spice Girls.
So Jerry is Ginger Spice. Mel B is Scary Spice. Mel C is Sporty Spice. Emma is Baby Spice. And Victoria is Posh Spice. The Spice Girls.
So, yeah, I'm so curious because to my mind, they just exploded into the world as like posters inside people's middle school lockers. And they were fully formed.
Boy, did they ever, Mark. So they actually, aside from just being a girl group, they are actually friends in real life. And they've had some ups and downs throughout their friendship. And it's a constantly evolving friendship. One of the things that I think is so amazing about their friendship is you're seeing these women who got together as very, very young women. And now, you know, they're in their mid to late 40s and they're all mothers. You know, some are married. It's interesting how their lives have evolved and their friendship has evolved as their personalities have evolved and grown. I'm sure people with friendships as long as yours and mine, you know, you can remember your friend and what they were like when they were young, but that may not be the person they are when they're 46 years old, you know?
I hope not.
Yeah, in certain ways, you know? So the group started in 1994. After 500 girls auditioned to be in the group, they were assembled by Heart Management as a reaction to male pop groups at the time.
They were. Who were the male? Was Backstreet Boys around then? Like, who were the?
There's like Boys to Men. There's a lot of like R&B pop groups in that were just all male groups at the time. But it wasn't quite. You know, it didn't get to the Backstreet Boys stuff yet. We weren't quite there
yet. Yeah, but that to me, that explains why they're so, like, branded. It's like Posh Spice, Sporty Spice. Like, they literally labeled each of them with, like, how you should feel about them, you know?
Oh, well, you know, they didn't actually come up with that. I was going to get to that later, but if we're going to start
this is good. Take me through. I didn't mean to jump the gun.
Yeah,
so they're auditioning.
Yeah, so they auditioned in 94. So this is, you know, they exploded in America in 97. So this is 3 years before, you know, we all heard of them. And they were assembled by Heart Management as a reaction to the male pop groups. Then, and their name wasn't even Spice Girls. It was like something else. And then they were going to be called just Spice. And then they found out that there was already like a rapper named Spice. And so then they called themselves the Spice Girls. And that made sense. Everybody knows girl power is the famous Spice Girls mantra. But girl power was co-opted. That wasn't something they came up with, if you didn't assume that right away.
Yeah, I sort of assumed it was.
So
not theirs.
Girl power started actually a little bit earlier in the 90s through the Riot Girl punk rock movement. There is a punk rock group called Bikini Kill that was pretty much behind girl power, but there were other groups like Bananarama, before them. And even Madonna was a little bit girl power, but I don't know if she ever used that phrase. But the pop group Shampoo, which was like right before Spice Girls, had a song called Girl Power. And Jerry Halliwell, Ginger Spice, was a big fan of Shampoo. And they just kind of took it for themselves. And I'm sure Shampoo isn't really that thrilled about it. But that's kind of how it went down. Because what happened was, as Spice Girls kind of started to get into this girl power stuff, and let's explore girl power a little bit more, because it's fair to argue with this punk rock movement of Riot Girl punk rock and Bikini Kill and Shampoo, that Spice Girls was born out of capitalism, and they marketed girl power. And there's a lot of people that will say, like, well, this isn't real feminism, because it was feminism put together by a group of men, and these women were echoing what these men were saying. But one thing that the criticisms, I hear that, and I think there's some validity to that. But what you got to keep in mind is, all of those radically feminist groups at the time had no people of color. And the Spice Girls did. The Spice Girls had representation. And a lot of black ladies at the time in music were not rocking natural hair either. So, you know, before you want to, like, discount their impact and talk about the capitalism stuff, slow your roll a little bit. Just, you know, ease off. They're doing their best. But yes, it's important to acknowledge what came before, but that doesn't mean that this capitalist thing, Spice Girls, was all bad. There's shades of gray everywhere.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, even in the movie Spice World, the plot of the movie, the girls are supposed to be playing the biggest gig of their life, but in the end, spoiler, they ditch it to stick with their best friend, who ends up giving birth to a child after the baby daddy ditches her. And so, like, you know, the message is, although it's a capitalist thing, the message behind it all is still very positive. And, you know, I think it's good to have a nice positive message. I don't think they were that bad for society. I don't know. What did you think? You were witnessing as it happened. You were 12.
Well, I mean, I think what I thought at the time was like, ugh, why does every girl like the Spice Girls so much? But like, looking back on it, I mean, I think the reality, and this is what's always so complex about issues like that, is that, yes, the purest message of girl power would not be tainted by something like capitalism, but by marketing girl power for money, yes, Heart Management and whatever record label, you know, made a killing on the Spice Girls, I assume. But they also set that message up to be distributed way, way wider than, you know, like, you're not going to get a lot of, like, moms in, you know, the Midwestern suburbs buying their, you know, 12-year-old daughters Bikini Kill CDs. But they would do that for Spice Girls. And so it's like,
it's a little bit of subversion.
Yeah.
Almost. I mean, a slightly subversive message.
Or just like, they were happy to profit and also proliferate this positive message, you know, whatever they thought about it. It's like, it can be sad that capitalism does that, and also it can be good that this message got out there. And so the fact that both those things can be true doesn't necessarily negate either of them.
So, quick twist, before we all get to know about the Spice Girls, Heart Management did a showcase performance for the Spice Girls to kind of get out there, get them like a sweet record deal and whatnot, and they were a big hit. The girls
were
rehearsed.
Did they write their own songs?
No, they had songwriters that worked with them early at Heart, and then as time went on, they started writing their own songs, because what happened was, after they had this big showcase where they were a big hit, Hart management tried to lock him in on like a 5-year contract, you know, something like that. And yeah. Victoria, Posh Spice's father, gave the girls the advice not to sign, to hold out and see what else is out there. And that is where Simon Fuller enters. Simon Fuller.
Yeah.
Do you know who that is?
Is he the Simon? Wait. Is he the Simon from like the reality show Judging?
No, that's Simon Cowell.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry.
But here's the thing, Mark. The man who created that reality show, Simon Fuller.
Oh.
Simon Fuller created American Idol. It started with Pop Idol in Britain. And there is an idol all around the world. Simon Fuller. Simon Fuller is the one behind that. And he's the one behind the Spice Girls. And Simon Fuller was the one who said, I am going to get you, you know, endorsement deals with everybody. Simon Fuller is the reason why we all got exhausted with the Spice Girls in 1998.
Yeah.
So Simon Fuller was all about getting endorsement deals for the Spice Girls. And Victoria Beckham's father was exactly right about signing with Simon Fuller. So what happened was the girls wanted to get out of their deal with Hart Management. And I guess the story goes, late at night, the girls broke into Hart Management and stole their master tapes.
Wow.
And took their master tapes to Simon Fuller, signed with him, and he got them set up to become the biggest rock stars in the world. Or pop stars in the world, I guess. Yeah. Wow.
So he was already like a huge deal, I assume, at that point.
He was a pretty big deal, but not like he was with the Spice Girls. With Spice Girls, he became mega, like just the biggest deal in the world. And then Simon Fuller started American Idol, I believe X Factor too, X Factor as well. Mm-hmm. He's done a lot in TV and music. He's one of the most successful managers, producers of all time. And his contributions should not be discounted. But as much as we talk about his contributions, do not forget, the Spice Girls stole their master tapes from Hart Management to move to Simon Fuller. So this started a pattern where the Spice Girls gave no fucks about their management. And when when Spice Girls were blowing up and everybody was loving Spice Girls, what happened was I think the first album got released in UK first and then it went global, but their second album came out only like 9 months after it was released in the United States, and they were already on every Pepsi commercial and they had like 19 other endorsements and merchandising deals, and so they were overexposed. Mm-hmm. And everybody kind of started to turn against them because that was it was too much. We didn't like it.
You just get sick of seeing the same person trying to hawk everything, you know?
And also,
and it's hard enough to sell your own album, let alone Pepsi and, like, you know, clothing and your own merchandise.
Well, Simon Fuller looked at that as free advertising for the band.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he's not wrong, but if there's too much of it and it's all advertising-y, mm-hmm. you get annoyed at seeing them.
And so the girls fired Simon Fuller.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, man. They fired the dude that brought him to the dance just right after 1998 because they were just like, to hell with this. This isn't working. You mm-hmm. have overexposed us, and now people are getting tired of us, and we can't milk this for as long. And they were also he was just running them so hard. They were doing so many shows, so many TV appearances. It was just too much, and it was so much that Jerry Halliwell, Ginger Spice, left the band in 1998. So they only were popular for 2 years before Jerry leaves.
I mean, that's crazy that they were put in so much stuff that they made such a cultural impact in 2 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't know Simon Fuller as a human being, but when we talk about, say, the forces of capitalism, it feels a little bit like he was like, oh, I have a golden goose, and I am just going to tear every egg out of it until it dies.
I mean, boy, did he ever. They had some great songs, great hits, and they were just churning them out at the time. Mm-hmm. And but while that was all going on, the girls admitted that they were drinking a lot. While they were making the first record, they said they were drinking that Asti Spumante, you know, that real cheap champagne.
Yeah.
They were just drinking, you know, when they came up with like Zigga Zigga, it's Asti Spumante talking.
Nice. Wait, so how old were they when they started? You know what I mean?
I think Emma was the youngest, and she was born in 1979. So, okay. 94, so she was 25?
No, she'd be 15.
Oh, 15, or yeah, she was 15, sorry, in 94.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, when they blew up, she was 17. And then yeah. I think the oldest was Jerry, who was born in, like, 72. Mm-hmm. So, she was...
Damn.
Yeah, so, you know, they did their thing.
Yeah. I'm just like, you know what I mean? To
yeah.
I love that they were able to stand up to two management companies. As, you know, when you're younger, you're like, oh, well, these people probably know what they're talking about. They're like adults and professionals. And they were just mm-hmm. like, ah, fuck you.
Yeah.
Give us our masters. We're out of here.
Now, so they were drinking a bunch. This led to some conflicts within the group. Mel B, Scary Spice, it seems to me like the pot stirrer in the group.
Sure.
She is from Northern England, and she has that very thick Northern England accent. She blames her sense of humor on being from the North. It's a more working class area. You know, her troublemakers.
Yeah.
Supposedly, and so Mel B was kind of accused of bullying a little bit.
Oh no! The other members?
Yeah, she definitely has such a big personality, and when you go back and you watch their stuff, you can see how she just talks over everybody and is just like out there and wild, and part of what makes them fun, but it is very confrontational. And she got into a heated argument with Victoria very early on, to the point where the band was like, if you can't keep your shit together, we're going to kick you out. So she had to cool it there. But then through kind of like her subtle digs at Mel C, Sporty Spice, it gave Mel issues about her weight and just her look, because she wasn't as feminine as some of the other girls. And and then also Mel, as you know, one of the two lead singers of the group. I think Mel B and Mel C are probably two of the leads.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you ask me, I guess. But but Mel,
I've never thought about which of them is the lead singers. But yeah, I guess.
Well, that would Mel make sense. C has the biggest vocal range. Sporty Spice has crazy vocal mm-hmm. range. And Sporty Spice also has, I think it's 11 number one songs that she's written in the UK charts. They haven't all wow. gone number one on in the US, but she has done a lot. So
damn, way to yeah, go, Mel C.
Yeah, and she has a very distinctive voice out of all of them. I think she has the most distinctive and interesting voice. But that's me. Maybe it's just I'm a Sporty Spice fan, I guess. But then also Jerry left the group in 98, partially because Mel B was kind of pushing the group a little bit more towards an R&B sound and thought that was kind of going to be their next direction. And Jerry was not into R&B. She wanted to do pop and wanted to do dance music,
yeah.
and club music. And that wasn't really where Mel B's head was at. And also, it seems that Mel B and Jerry had a little bit of a relationship. It's hard to say how long the relationship landed and if it was even much of a relationship besides a hookup. But Mel B admitted on the Pierce Morgan show that, and she did it with Mel C in the audience, who looked surprised but not that surprised. You can look it up to see, judge for yourself. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, we're just guessing here. But she told Pierce Morgan that she, Mel told Pierce Morgan, Scary Spice, that she had relations with Ginger Spice one time. And at least one time. And she said that she's been very open that she had like a 5-year relationship with a woman. She's had all different types of things, but it's rumored that they had more than just a one night thing, and that there may have been a breakup or some sort of frustration over their romance, because I believe Ginger, Jerry, left the group on Mel B's birthday.
Oh, ouch.
Yeah. So there's some drama. But the group soldiered on. And they did really well for themselves.
So did they add another member, or they just went...
They went down to a foursome.
Ginger Spice. Okay.
Yeah. And so in 99, Mel B and Victoria both have their first children. And that's kind of the beginning of the end of the group a little bit, because they were starting to go off on their own lives. Jerry was beginning her own career as a solo artist. Jerry was so in love with dancing and clubs and gay culture. She became very good friends with George Michael. And
oh, awesome.
Yeah. And so Jerry... became, I don't know if you remember, she had one song that became a big hit called Look At Me.
It was like, look at me.
It was a, but yeah, that was a pretty decent hit for her. And then she had a bunch of other records. Interestingly enough, with Jerry, she became a goodwill ambassador to the United Nations shortly after leaving the Spice Girls. And she worked with the Population Fund, focusing on reproductive health.
Oh, that's great.
She said, she's been quoted as saying, when you educate girls, you help population control. You help the economy. You help people's health. Everything starts to starts to thrive. And Jerry has continued her work globally in empowering young women, educating them about reproductive health, about feminine hygiene, health with all that stuff, and making good choices.
Yeah. And that's a great example of girl power, you know, carrying on beyond the vampire of capitalism sucking the blood out of people.
Yeah.
You know, it has continued and thrived and gained this messenger. So even if it was born of slightly unscrupulous origins, that doesn't negate its impact.
Now, in addition to being a United Nations ambassador, Jerry has married a Formula One mogul. I forget his name, but
like
she
a driver
England,
or like a guy that makes the cars, or
I think
owns
he just owns the team and is in charge of the team.
Nice.
And she just lives in the English countryside with her racing man. But Mel and Jerry, Scary Spice and Jerry, they were the two closest friends in the band, and they stayed close. They, you know, you can't get rid of that intimacy that you shared with somebody. So when the group has gotten back together, the two have reconciled and done what they can to make things work. They're always doing what they can to chat things out. Now, Mel B, Scary Spice, she released several records after the group broke up. And she's judged on America's Got Talent for several seasons. She lived out here in LA for a very long time. I think she still does. She's done various acting gigs, various voiceover gigs. She was married twice. She even was dating Eddie Murphy for like a year, and they had a daughter together.
Oh, but interesting.
Eddie denied that he was the father of the girl until a paternity test proved otherwise.
Wow, Eddie, come on, man.
Mel has not had very good relationships with men. Right after Eddie Murphy, she was with another gentleman named Stephen Belafonte, who abused her emotionally and physically. Yeah, Mel is now a spokeswoman for the Women's Aid, a domestic violence survivors charity. So more girl power there. But Mel, because of her situation with men, her upbringing, and past traumas, she has struggled with alcohol and just all sorts of issues. And what has been really great about Mel is that the rest of the Spice Girls have rallied around her whenever she's in trouble. You know, when she was abused, they stood with her. When she came out about her lesbian relationship, they stood with her. She's, they love Mel. And I love that they stick together throughout all that stuff.
Yeah, that's
now,
cool.
Emma, Baby Spice, she's had a couple of solo albums. But interestingly enough, I don't know if you guys have seen the revival of Absolutely Fabulous, but Emma was, she had a regular role on the revival of Ab Fab in the early 2000s.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. And she had her first child in 2007 and another one in 2011. But Emma is also the godmother of Ginger Spice's daughter that she had in 2006. So you can see, like, there's still kind of buds here and there. And, like, even though Mel was real tight, you can see where Emma fits in. Even though she's younger, she's a very reliable and great friend.
Yeah.
Now, Mel C, like I said, she has the biggest vocal range. She has all these songwriting credits. She was on the soundtrack for Big Daddy and had a pretty big hit on that. I think it charted number one in UK, but it charted in the US too, just not number one. Mel C's done a bunch of great songs. And she is also the only female performer to top the British pop charts as a solo artist, part of a duo, part of a quartet, and a quintet.
That's great.
So, yeah. Mel C has also been very open about her battles with depression. She struggled with anorexia throughout being a Spice Girl. And she also kind of over-exercised a lot, leaning into the Sporty Spice thing to kind of fight against the media criticism of her appearance and possible sexuality. Same with Mel, kind of bullying her a little bit too. But Mel B, she's the one who actually was having relationships with ladies.
Sure.
Mel C had her first daughter in 2009. And she's, she's doing well. She seems fairly stable too. What is kind of interesting is, although Mel was dealing with anorexia while they were Spice Girls, Jerry was dealing with bulimia, and both ladies dated the pop star Robbie Williams.
Oh yeah, that guy.
At different times, yeah, and Robbie reportedly tried to help both to seek help for their eating disorders, which I thought was very interesting. I was like, oh, how about that? Robbie Williams, there you are.
Good boyfriend story.
Yeah. Yeah, what do you know?
Listen up, Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, right.
Maybe he didn't know or genuinely believed that.
I don't know, man. Right, but... There's some things about Eddie Murphy that aren't super great, but that can be another episode. The Spice Girls reunited in 2007 for the first time as the 20th anniversary, or the 10th anniversary of Wannabe coming out. And that was the first time.
What about Victoria?
Oh, yeah. So Victoria, yeah, I'm sorry. Victoria, she married David Beckham.
Was that while she was a Spice Girl, like in the 90s?
Yes, yes. She married David Beckham and had her first child with him in 99. I touched on that like very quickly earlier.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I was trying to figure out if that was David Beckham with David Beckham.
Yeah, it was with David Beckham, and they've been together since then. And Victoria has admitted that she was definitely not the best singer or dancer in the group. And she feels that she was in the group because of her look and her fashion and personality. And that was about it. Hey, so Victoria struggles with kind of feeling like she belongs in the group. And the girl, the rest of the group has kind of struggled with her role. And I was going to get to Victoria because it ties into these reunions, Mark.
Oh, great. So, okay, sorry.
Yeah, I know. It's weird. The way I'm doing this is a little weird. But yeah, so they reunite in 2007. And, you know, that was super great and fun. But it still fell apart. The girls, you know, had their infighting like they do. And Victoria just was not really as interested in performing. And it might be because the rest of the Spice Girls don't make her feel as welcome. It really seems, when I look at the interviews with them, they don't quite know how to place her and what to, you know, where Victoria fits in all the time. Because Victoria is doing so well on her own with her fashion business. And she's, you know, incredibly wealthy with her husband David Beckham. They're doing just fine, you know, so she doesn't need to be a Spice Girl. Whereas you look at someone like Mel C, Mel B, they need to be Spice Girls. They got to pay the bills, you know.
Sure. Well, also, this is a side note I don't want to get too deep into, but aren't the Beckhams also Scientologists?
That is not confirmed.
Okay. Because that would certainly, were it true, that would also, I feel like I would have trouble with someone who, you know, might be associated with something that I think is potentially damaging.
They definitely hang out with them, but it's not confirmed that they are. So I don't know.
Okay.
There are rumors, though. But it is definitely not confirmed. And but the girls they stayed friends still. It's just sometimes you got to step away, I guess, you know? Yeah. It seems like they have such large personalities. And whenever you look at the old interviews and even the newer ones, they're always talking over one another. They clearly have love for one another, but it's like sisters, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Where it's just like, God, I can't stand to be in the room with you right now. It's enough. Famously, they reunited at the 2012 Olympics in Great Britain, and it was like the most popular and memorable thing of the whole Olympics. You know?
Yeah.
That was awesome. That. Yeah. So that was a really epic moment. And then they were working on trying to get some sort of reunion around 2017, 2018. But Victoria just was too busy with her fashion. So she did not join the other Spice Girls when they reunited. And that was a very difficult thing because Mel B did an interview where she said that it hurt her a great deal that not only did Victoria not do the tour, but she never even came to watch and support them. But yeah. In another interview, Jerry claims that nobody ever really asked Victoria to come on tour.
Yeah.
Nobody ever asked her. Nobody really invited her. They just kind of assumed that she didn't want to do it because she said so many times that, like, she didn't really enjoy it that much. She didn't like the touring. She didn't like doing the performances.
Yeah.
And so the girls were like, well, if she doesn't really want to be there, then why would we invite her?
Yeah.
And
well, it's got to be tricky too when you're like, I mean, at her life right now, she's like a multiple hundred millionaire, if not billionaire. She's running a large company where she's the CEO. And then someone's like, hey, can you go put on these glittery shorts and dance?
Yeah, and she just doesn't want to do it. And like when you get that kind of money, you don't have to do that shit anymore.
Yeah.
And so the girls felt like they didn't want to make her do something that she didn't want to do. But there is a little bit of stuff out there saying that, you know, nobody really asked Victoria. But totally. Mel dressed up for Halloween that year in a costume that looked a little bit like Posh Spice in how she dresses, and she wore a sign that said, "No, I am not going on tour."
Whoa. So, okay.
Seemed like that was a little tongue in cheek.
Shots fired.
Yeah. But that's Mel. That is scary. That is what she does. Mm-hmm. She is not shy, but the thing is, you know, she's probably got the dirtiest laundry of anybody.
Sure.
The girls have stayed in contact over the last several years through a WhatsApp group chat.
Great.
And they speak in code. They mostly use GIFs, but whenever they refer to the group, I think they called it Cucumber.
Sure.
And so there is that. They said that there's just a lot of things that they're trying to do together and work together, and they enjoyed being together. They even, right before that tour in 2018, 2017, they reunited with Simon Fuller, and they signed all of them, even Victoria, signed a new contract with Simon Fuller for them to have new properties, licensing, maybe TV shows, other content, just to, you know, keep making things together.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And there is a lot of hope for them to have a 25-year reunion in 2022 to celebrate the 25-year anniversary of Wannabe. But we'll see when it happens, you know? They're trying.
Sure.
Mel C mentioned it just back in November. So, you know, this is all still fresh.
I mean, I'm just holding my breath for Spice World 2. So
it's a great movie. Spice World 2. I mean, Spice World 1 has so many great British actors in it, and is definitely a campy romp, and I would highly recommend it. It's a lot of fun. Unless you're
just at a moment of panic,
don't watch it.
I just had a moment of panic where I'm like, wait, is there a Spice World 2?
No.
Okay, good. Not yet, I should say.
Yeah. Oh, you know what I did, Mark? I ran over the part where they got their nicknames.
Oh,
I told you that
yeah,
it was coming.
Wait.
Yeah. So they got their nicknames from the magazine Top of the Pops, the British magazine.
Oh.
They did an interview with Top of the Pops, and I don't know if it was the editor or the writer or whoever, but Top of the Pops decided to kind of give the girls nicknames. And the girls thought it was so fun that they decided to lean into it. And so Mel B was like, yeah, I'm going to be Scary Spice. Mel C was Sporty Spice. Emma Bunton was Baby. She was, you know, the youngest one, so they called her Baby.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry Halliwell was Ginger because she had red hair. And Victoria was Posh because they thought she had very posh style, even though she just made her own outfits. She wasn't rich at the time.
Sure. That's great. I love that they just ran with it.
Yeah, they were like, oh, you want to label us this way? Yeah, okay. That's fun. But Mel C, with those labels, she confessed that she had reservations about rejoining the group when they reformed in 2007. And she even talked to her therapist about it. And her therapist kind of helped her realize that she's not stepping back into the role of Sporty Spice. Sporty Spice is her, but she's older, happier, and more confident now. And
that's cool.
Yeah, and Mel and the girls have done what they can to own that and enjoy that, but you know, there's a lot of insecurity and there's a lot of difficulties, and you know, it's all so public as well. But I love this friendship, and I think it's so cool to see these women grow up and grow older together and become mothers and become wives and become United Nations ambassadors and
yeah, fashion moguls and
yeah, I love
songwriters and it's really
so very cool. And I'm glad that they're still friends. They did get all together this past summer for like a socially distanced walk in June.
Nice.
And they continue to chat on their WhatsApp. So that's all I have on the Spice Girls. Do you have any questions or
no, I asked all mine.
Left out?
I asked all my questions as you were going, and the answer was always like, "Ugh, I'm getting there."
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't sound exasperated, but I did realize.
I added the exasperation. It's my own guilt. No, you put it together in a smart way, and I was just overeager. I'm like, ah, tell me about the Victoria one.
Well, Victoria is interesting, but and there's something about Victoria still where it's like, man, you know that she's fine. She's very wealthy, and she's got her husband. But there is something about Victoria where I feel like she feels disconnected from everybody else. And yeah. It makes me think about, you know, those friends of ours, you know, that might feel disconnected for whatever reason. And, you know, what can you do to reach out to them? And I think about Jerry and Mel's stuff, where Mel has revealed, you know, Jerry's now a 47-year-old mother, you know, married to a very wealthy man in the English countryside. She probably doesn't really want anybody hearing about her, you know, lesbian love dalliances 20 years ago, you know?
Totally.
I get that. But it's weird because, you know, we want our friends to all love who they were in the past, just like we loved them. And and not everybody loves who they used to be. And we got to make sure that that's okay. And we accept that and accept them and love them for who they are now. But it's just something that I thought was really fascinating.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for bringing that story.
Yeah. And I'll put some Spice Girl stuff up in the notes and you can see the interviews and see how they chat with one another. Because, you know, it's probably been a while since a lot of you have checked out Spice Girls. There's so much fun. This was a blast to revisit.
Yeah. As much as I was like annoyed when I was a 13-year-old boy, their cultural impact is impossible to ignore. And when I got married and we were making the playlist for the wedding, Robin insisted on including a Spice Girls song, Wannabe, obviously, in the playlist. And I thought really hard about every single song in that playlist, and there were a bunch that people were excited to hear. When that song came on, there was like a chorus of screams from people, and they just ran to the dance floor. I'm not like insanely surprised, but I was surprised at the time at the scale of the reaction. And it just goes to show you how their impact on an entire generation of women. And I just hope that from whatever its roots, I hope that girl power lives on and lasts.
Oh, most certainly. And I hope that I was able to help you not feel as bad about being annoyed with them when you were young. Because
yeah,
they were
Simon
overexposed.
Fuller.
Yeah, Simon Fuller made sure that they were overexposed and made us annoyed with them. So I want you all to know
they were annoyed with him.
If you were annoyed
about
with them, that is the fault of Simon Fuller. And the Spice Girls know that, and they fired him. But now they're back.
Great.
And he's going to try and like annoy him us even again more. With them.
Well, I can't wait for them to spice up our lives a little bit more. And if you guys are looking to spice up your lives, try both following the Spice Girls, but also following Brian at Brian Wool on all platforms, me at Mark Musinski on all platforms, and especially this podcast at My Favorite Friendship on Twitter, or sorry, on Instagram and Facebook, and at My Fav Friendship on Twitter. And I guess until next week, we'll see you soon.
Bye.
Bye.